This is James Taylor with Theater Talk. This week, theater followers and, well, followers of just about everything have been focusing on the next 4 years. But this week, Theater Talk is focused on 4 days that took place last month. Amidst all the political theater and presidential debates, the Roy and Edna Disney CalArts Theater, better known as Red Cat, presented a brief 4-day run of The Sound and the Fury, April 7, 1928. This wildly theatrical show, with the rather unwieldy name, was the product of a New York-based troupe called the Elevator Repair Service. Using a cast of 12, they presented what sounded like a full reading of the first 75 pages, a chapter titled April 7, 1928, of The Sound and the Fury, William Faulkner's celebrated 1929 novel. Now, usually the live reading of a book, even if it takes place on a stage, is not considered theater. And the Elevator Repair Service is entirely faithful to the book. It feels as if not a comma and or he said has been left out of Faulkner's text. And yet, it was also fully staged, complete with costumes, music, and a big set that represented the Compson family's Mississippi homestead. Literary adaptations are common enough on stage, but The Sound and the Fury, April 7, 1928, isn't really an adaptation. It felt to me more like a translation of the book into another artistic medium. Most theatrical adaptations of books, especially classics or well-known titles, tend to treat the text as too sacred and forget to add any new inspiration when telling the story on stage. This is not the case with this surprisingly innovative show. The Elevator Repair Service, using a collaborative process, no single writer is credited as adapter, has succeeded in making this fragmented prose narrative come to life on stage. One of the best things about this staging was the use of multiple actors to play the same parts. This old avant-garde staple can sometimes be annoying, but at Red Cat, it was both clarifying as well as illuminating. The first chapter of Faulkner's book is told from the perspective of a grown man named Benji who suffers from mental retardation. Faulkner's prose tries to let readers experience the world through Benji's fractured perspective, which can make this chapter a difficult read. One might think that having multiple actors playing the characters on stage would only add to the confusion. But in fact, it gives a visual form to Benji's perspective and the abrupt changes of time and place. The other brilliant touch is that the Elevator Repair Service leaves in every he said or she said after each character speaks. Again, you might expect this to add a level of artificiality, since in the theater, characters don't frame their own dialogue, but simply talk to each other. In fact, though, this repetition, while odd at first, eventually sounds like part of Faulkner's Southern dialect. It strangely reminds you of the fidelity to the text, but it also makes all the exchanges sound different than anything you've heard on stage before. The Sound and the Fury, April 7, 1928, is a tragedy. Not surprising, given that the title is taken from a passage from Shakespeare's Macbeth. But it was a real joy to see such a daring work on a Los Angeles stage. The real tragedy is that it was only here for 5 performances over a 4-day run. I've long urged theaters here to offer longer runs of their shows. But the reasons for these short runs are usually financial. And in the current climate, I fear it's not going to get better anytime soon. To help ensure that Angelenos don't miss productions of this quality, the Theater Talk website has recently added a calendar of current and upcoming shows. Here you can read and link to information about when the Elevator Repair Service will be performing The Sound and the Fury in Europe next year, and more importantly, find out if they'll be returning to Red Cat anytime soon. This is James Taylor with Theater Talk for KCRW.